Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the good old West Coast of the good old USA.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Thanks for joining us from around the world. We love having all these countries from around the world listening in, because Colombo Chronicles is for people around the world. Because what happens in the USA can happen anywhere around the world and affects people around the world. So we're all about stories of human interest. And we have a great guest today. She's a repeat guest, Susan Moss. And she is an artist, world-famous artist, and also an author of two popular books, Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Susan Moss when we join into the world of authors and experts. And right now, we're listening to the hearings, the Senate hearings on President Trump, President Donald J. Trump. Go, Trump, go. That just probably irritates the Democrats. I'm so sorry if I've irritated you. I don't mean to, but you know what? You probably got a job right now, right? Probably have a roof over your head, food on your table, clothes on your back, because the sky isn't falling right now, and the economy is good, and people are back to work, and companies are coming back to America. Without all of that, we would not survive. And the government can't survive, because we, the middle class, pay for the welfare for all of the millions of people on welfare, some who are should not be on welfare, and others who are in need of welfare. We are happy to help them out. But people who are not in need of welfare should not be on welfare. If they are of sound mind and have healthy bodies, they should be working, because Donald J. Trump has created so many jobs, and especially for the black communities, the Hispanic communities, and across the board. So thank you, President Donald Trump. And in fact, President Obama created very few jobs, and he promised those 350,000 shovel-ready jobs if we just approved of the trillions of stimulus money that went every which way except for those 350,000 infrastructure jobs, shovel-ready. And as we know, our infrastructure has been in need of restoration, repairs, or rebuilding across the nation everywhere. And that has been an issue since the 1990s. You could read it in major political magazines that it was an issue of dire need way back when. And yet that money has been diverted and diverted and diverted. And now we are seeing more infrastructure being repaired. We're seeing more jobs, more people put to work. And one of the jobs we would like to see completed is people put to work at the borders and complete the wall so that we can continue with a sovereign and safe nation for the welfare of all legal Americans. And so these hearings, to me, still seem like a witch hunt, in my opinion, and a waste of our tax dollars and our time. And the special investigator, Robert Mueller, has been answering questions about the Mueller report. And is all you have to do is read the Mueller report. You don't have to keep asking the same questions over and over again. He's not going to pull a rabbit out of a hat. But the Democrats are hoping for that. So I think it's interesting that the special investigator, Robert Mueller, has been alleged in the news to have delivered uranium samples to Russia. And no one's talking about that. No one's asked him that question at all. And he delivered it on behalf of, allegedly, Hillary and Bill Clinton and the State Department. And Hillary Clinton allegedly sold 20% of American uranium to Putin, the Russians. And they paid for the fake Russian dossier. And Comey has received money, donations, through a third party, which is his wife, from the Clinton Foundation. And all that money from the Uranium One went into the Clinton Foundation, millions and millions that actually in reality belong to the United States taxpayers. So lots and lots of questions that are blowing in the wind that are alleged online in credible stories are not being asked of Robert Mueller or James Comey. But here's a quick article before we enter into the world of authors and experts. Chris Wallace, Mueller testimony is a disaster for Democrats. Now, when Chris Wallace says that, I think we should pay attention. He is a longtime seasoned, experienced anchor. Fox News host Chris Wallace, who has a history of siding with Democrats, as we all know, admitted on the air that Robert Mueller's testimony to Congress was a disaster for the Democrats. This has been a disaster for the Democrats and a disaster for the reputation of Robert Mueller. He has seemed so very uncertain with his brief. In my opinion, it appeared that he may not have even written it, or it had been altered, in my opinion, allegedly altered, because he didn't seem to even know about some of the information that was in the brief. He doesn't seem to know what things are in the report, Wallace said. Well, there you go. And that's the true story. He continued, quote, "He has been attacked a number of times, and you would think that almost anybody else would have defended his own integrity and the integrity of the investigation. And over, Mueller just sits silent and allows the attacks from the Republicans." They weren't attacks. They were questions, Chris Wallace. Those were questions, and they were important questions. That's what this is about, asking questions. Well, anyway, it says, and over again, Chris Wallace says, Mueller just sits silent and allows the attacks from the Republicans to sweep over him and says nothing. Well, you know, silence is golden when you're not sure about what is in your report. Anyway, he goes on to say, I think it does raise questions about the degree to which he actually was in charge and in control of this report. See, that's my suspicion too. Because he doesn't seem very much in control or in charge of what the final report says, unquote. That is the feeling that I had, and maybe many of you have too, if you've been watching this hearing, which is an important hearing, all Americans who have the time should be watching or go back and watch the clips on YouTube. Mueller's testimony was indeed a disaster for Democrats. From the very beginning, Mueller seemed to be confused. He did. Nervous, very nervous, and constantly stuttered and mumbled. The constant confusion raises the question, did Mueller run the Mueller investigation or did Andrew Weissmann? In fact, Mueller wanted to pass the questions on to Andrew Weissmann to answer the questions about his own Mueller report. And the Republicans would not allow him to do that. Mueller appeared to not even know what was in his own report. When asked by Representative Jim Jordan about who told Papadopoulos about Hillary Clinton's emails being acquired by the Russians, Mueller responded by claiming he couldn't answer the question. Jordan was having none of it. Yes, you can, because you wrote about it, Jordan said. You gave us the answer. Page 192 of the report, you told us who told him. Joseph Mifsud. Joseph Mifsud is the guy who told Papadopoulos, unquote. Jordan hammered that statement. Jordan continued by slamming Mueller for failing to charge Mifsud for making false statements to investigators. That's very, very important and very, very stunning that Mifsud did not get charged by Mueller. This put Mueller into a corner considering he couldn't answer why he didn't charge Mifsud. Jordan wasn't the only member of the GOP to slam Mueller. Representative John Ratcliffe also made sure to hold him accountable. You said in Volume 1 of the issue of conspiracy, the special counsel determined that the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Representative John Ratcliffe said. Then, in Volume 2, the special counsel did not make a determination on whether there was an obstruction of justice crime committed by the president. Quote, the evidence we obtained about the president's actions and intent presents difficult issues that prevent us from conclusively determining that no criminal conduct occurred, Ratcliffe continued, reading the Mueller report. Accordingly, while their report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. Well, the word exonerate came up, but there's no department for exoneration. Judges don't exonerate people. USAGs don't exonerate people. Mueller can't exonerate anyone. So why he used the word exonerate is very, very important because that's the word the press picked up and flew with and spread across the internet during this whole investigation after Mueller completed his report and said he could not exonerate the president. Well, he can't exonerate the president, and neither can William Barr exonerate the president. No one can exonerate you because there's no exoneration in this type of a case. And exonerate means to free from responsibility the payment of the debt. Encumbrances, free from encumbrances, the property from the mortgages. Well, this has nothing to do with any of that. And so where he got the word exonerate, in my opinion, only meant that he used it so that the Democrats could open the door to these hearings. And that's just my opinion. And on that note, let's enter into the world of authors and experts. And we will be back right after this important message, so don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Listen up, because we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts right here for you on Colombo Chronicles. And today we have a wonderful repeat guest. We enjoy having Susan Moss on our show every so often when an important issue comes up. And, of course, cancer is a very important issue. And Susan will tell us a little bit about her story. She will tell us how she has survived. And she'll also tell us about her books, Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer. And she's going to tell us a little bit about Alex Trebek and his battle with cancer. And she'll give us an update on that as well. And before we say hello to Susan, I wanted to remind you that the annual Cancer Control Society Convention is coming up again this year on the Labor Day weekend at the Hilton Hotel. It's the 47th annual event, and it'll be in Glendale, California. So you want to stay updated on that, and maybe you could even check it out on the internet as well. So let's get started, and let's say hello to Susan Moss. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
And welcome back to Colombo Chronicles. It's always good to hear your voice.
Oh, and, thank you. It's great to be back.
Oh, good. And, you know, as an author and a health advocate and an artist, you're a very busy woman, so we appreciate your time, because cancer is such an important issue. And you've had your story and your experiences and what you did to help yourself, and you're sharing that with the world, which is wonderful. And also, I understand that you're the author of a novel that seems headed for the silver screen. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I wrote a book, The Accident Stager, and I also wrote a screenplay for it. So hopefully someone will pick it up. It's about a guy who goes around hitting cars to collect insurance money.
Oh, yes, and that's a true story.
It's based on a story where I was actually hit by a fellow with his two little kids in the back seat.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that happened to me one time, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and there was these shoddy-looking guys in the car with an old beat-up car. I just stepped on the gas and took off.
I thought, that's okay, what I tried to do, too, bumper. But then he clipped me.
That's scary, too.
It
yeah, well, we'll look.
Scary.
Do you have a name for your book?
It's called The Accident Stager.
Oh, okay, Accident Stager. Okay, perfect. And so, oh, well, hopefully we'll see it on the silver screen. I think it's important, because these things really do happen to just the average person. And
yes,
we don't
do.
Really hear about it that much, but it's important. So you have two popular books, Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer, that is on Amazon.com. And so why don't you tell us your interest in nutrition, and also why you're interested in following up with Alex Trebek's battle with cancer.
Well, Alex has pancreatic cancer, which is one of the hardest cancers and lowest survival rate, and he is doing great. And he attributes his success at 79 that doctors haven't seen any response to chemo like this before, because it's not chemo that's helping him. It's the tremendous support he has of 2 million people, including me, to pray for him, to encourage him, to congratulate him when he makes progress. So his tumors have actually gone down 50%, which is doctors are like really amazed that this is happening.
That is absolutely amazing, especially at his age, and 50% is huge. So I read, Susan, that some of the increased risk may be due to socioeconomic factors and to cigarette smoking, gender, as far as cancer of the pancreas, and that it's more common in men than in women, and that the men are more likely to smoke than the women, and also could have something to do with the religious background, and that it is proportionately more common in Ashkenazi Jews than the rest
Ashkenazi.
Of the population. Ashkenazi, thank you very much. Didn't want to slaughter that word, but I did. Sorry about that. I apologize. Ashkenazi, I like that word, and that it's more common in their population than in the rest of the population. So, do you find that smokers are more common to get pancreatic cancer or any other type of cancer?
Oh, definitely. If you smoke, you're really putting your life on the line because it damages the cells in the body, and especially the lungs, which have little hairs called cilia. And these hairs beat the oxygen in and beat it back out. So when you breathe, you absolutely develop, are dependent on these cilia. And what cigarette smoke does is it destroys these little hairs called cilia. And so you can't, you can't breathe.
Oh, my gosh. So,
and, of course, if you're not getting oxygen in your body, every organ is going to be affected, including the pancreas, every organ. And that includes breast, and that includes prostate, and every part of your body is going to be affected if you're not getting the oxygen. In fact, there was an experiment Otto Warburg did, and he found out that actually oxygen is what's needed to heal cancer.
Oh, wow, oxygen. Yeah, we all need to have oxygen anyway just to live, right?
Yeah, so that explains why cigarette smoking can ruin your body as well as your lungs and every part of your body. And so with Alex, he's 79 years old. And cancer, it turns out, is an emotional disease dependent on how you feel. So maybe he felt a little sad and despondent for some reason. And with all these people encouraging him, his emotions have turned around, which is really very helpful in cancer. Social support is one of the factors that helps you get through it.
Yes, and mind over matter for sure, and people who encourage people who are depressed or having some problems, I agree with that, is, you know, helps them to overcome their feelings, which goes back to mind over matter for helping healing the body. And I also read, Susan, in October 2018 that he renewed his contract with Sony Pictures Television to continue as host of Jeopardy through 2022, and that Ken Jennings, who holds the record for the longest winning streak on Jeopardy, said on Twitter that Trebek is an institution like Walter Cronkite. I've said this before, but Alex Trebek is in a way the last Cronkite, authoritative, reassuring TV voice you hear every night, almost to the point of ritual. And the quote is, "One thing I know for a fact, Alex is very aware of how much he means to millions of people and how we will be pulling for him. I hope that's a comfort. My parents never miss a show."
Well, my mother loved Alex also, and she watched it every night.
Yeah,
and it's a good show. I watched part of it. And I think Alex is a tremendous person, and he's very courageous. And the chemo, of course, will set him back because it's not really what he needs. There is a natural form of chemo. I have in my books Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer. I give you a list of 41 of these foods, and it does have the vitamin B17, which is a natural form of chemo that doesn't hurt you, doesn't destroy normal cells, doesn't take your hair away, or give you heart damage like chemo will. And this natural form is called Laetril, or vitamin B17. And this information has been very suppressed, because the doctors make so much money off chemo. So that's why chemo has continued despite the dismal record of like 2% of help to cancer patients or less.
That is so very sad, because you know and I know and the world knows that anyone who has cancer suffers greatly. My grandmother died of it must have been pancreatic cancer, because I was a kid, but her stomach swelled up so bad. And she passed away, and she suffered a lot. I still remember that. And, you know, and well, anybody who has cancer suffers. And so B17, I never heard of B17. You know, we hear of, what, B6 and B12, and but B17, what, you know, as you said, nobody really hears about that. So
it's
what
a very crucial, very crucial vitamin. And actually, the T cells use it to squirt into the cancer cells, and the cancer cells die. And this is what they would like to have with chemo, but of course, chemo is toxic, and the body cannot use it. And so that's why you vomit when you have chemo, because the body rejects it.
Yeah, I never really understood, you know, I mean, because chemo isn't a cure, but it right? It just may stop, you know, and hold it, but it doesn't actually cure cancer. And then it, you know, having radiation, all the medical books that I've ever, you know, come across about radiation is that it kills the healthy cells. So I never understood why they're radiating somebody to temporarily relieve the pain, but they're killing their healthy cells.
Yeah, radiation actually destroys everything it's pointed at. That's why you don't see the vests, the leather, the lead vests that people who give radiation have to wear. Because they're trying to protect themselves while aiming at cancer patients. It's absurd. Anyway, I healed myself of breast and uterine cancer stage 4 on a natural health program called MOTEP, Marathon Olympic Tumor Eradication and Prevention Program, and this is 28 years ago. I'm still on the program, and I've helped people all around the world understand what cancer is, what they can do to prevent it, and what they can do to heal it naturally. And the results are amazing, because even if you do the medical treatment, you still have to do the work. It's so important that you do the work and find out why you got sick in the first place.
Right, and that's a very important point you just made. Why did you get sick in the first place? What are you doing, and mentally and physically? What's happening in your life? So I wanted to ask you, what foods would vitamin B17 derive from?
Well, there's a list in both my books, Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer. Some of these foods are the berries, the nuts, certain nuts. You just have to look at the whole list and choose. Some of the beans have it. You should possibly try to eat from this list every single day something to give your body the ammunition it needs, because we all have cancer cells in our body every day. But in a healthy person, they are dissolved and killed by the immune system using vitamin B17.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is why, you know, when you go to the airports, I'm just shocked that they are radiating us with no lead vest, as you said, and no protection. And, you know, the radiation can cause cataracts and aging and sterility, all sorts of things, cancer and death. So, I mean, I'm just shocked that the government is doing this to American people. And so why don't you tell our audience, for those who don't know, you know, what happened to you that you ended up deciding to help yourself?
Yes. First of all, I would opt for a pat-down, and that's what I do when I go to the airport. I don't go through all the radiation. I just explain I had cancer at one point. I'm not going to do it. And so it takes a little more time, but you can opt for a pat-down, and I would advise everyone to do that instead of being radiated, which is very harmful. I was a healthy person for going to the gym, and then I had an emotional trauma. I fell for a fellow who ran off and married his old girlfriend, and I felt so sorry for myself and emotionally depleted that when I went to the gym, I would just sit in the hot tub and feel sorry for myself, and I would overeat to try to compensate for the emptiness I felt. And and it only took about 2 years for me to develop cancer.
Wow, that was quick.
It is quick, and then when I found out I had two tumors, breast and uterine tumors, and the doctor screaming at me to see a surgeon, and I knew that you can't cut disease out of the body, that the surgeon can't help you, I decided to go on a health program, a rigorous health program called MOTEP, Marathon Olympic Tumor Eradication and Prevention Program. And so I devised this program of 20 points, and I went on it. And my doctor finally relented. He was calling me every day, see a surgeon, see a surgeon. And I would say no. And so finally he said, come back in 2 months. Well, in 2 months, I actually got rid of both tumors on my program.
That is amazing. That is like a miracle. And that was being proactive and saying, and mind over matter again, that you were going to heal your body, right?
Right. I was going to do what it takes, and I was actually a week early from the 2 months. But it did take 7 more months to rebuild my body back into the perfect health I have today, 28 years later.
And so if someone has cancer, then would you suggest that they do as their doctor says and do, you know, some of the self-help tips from your program in the book as well, or go ahead and get the chemo?
Well, I don't offer tips, actually. I offer a whole program, and you got to be dedicated to do it. And it's far greater than any tips. But what I advise people who call me is not to do any medical treatment until they have tried the program for a couple of months, because in a couple of months they're going to see progress, and maybe enough progress that a doctor will say, keep doing what you're doing. So the main question I ask, the number one question I ask people who call me is, do you want to live?
Oh, that's an excellent question to ask. Do you want to live? Because, again, we're back to mind over matter, right? And then
right. Well,
the social
cancer
part.
Is a very psychological disease. It starts in the mind, and it's also about how in shape you are. So it's a mind-body disease, but it really starts with the mind. You have to find reasons that you want to live. And I do have in my book, Survive Cancer, a lucky exercise where you sit down and you write, I am lucky, I have, and fill in the blank. Can you think of some things you're lucky to have?
Yes, health.
Yes. What else?
Sound mind. Sound mind.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
A roof over my head.
Yes, well, I can think of about 1,000 things right now that I'm lucky to have. For instance, I can see, I can talk, I can walk, and starting with the basic things like that. But I am a very fortunate person, and I can sit down right now and write 1,000 things that I'm lucky to have. But I did talk to one cancer patient who could only think of one or two things, and this fellow had everything. He had his own law practice. He had a beautiful ranch in Palos Verdes with horses. He had a son. He had a beautiful wife. And yet he could only think of two things he was lucky to have.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes, and this fellow didn't make it either. He didn't make it because he couldn't appreciate his life.
Yeah, because I tell, you know, people when they're depressed, I say, you have to look at the good things in life. You have to look at life as a precious gift, you know, and it's so temporary and so short. You have to embrace it. You have to love it. And the good and the bad.
Yeah, I have to do a lucky exercise. Just sit down and write 10 things they're lucky to have, and they're going to change their mind maybe if they can think of 10 things.
So is that in your book, too, for as part of the
Survive
exercise?
Yeah, Survive Cancer. It's an exercise you do. Yes, definitely.
And are you going to be speaking, a key speaker again this year at the Annual Cancer Control Society in Glendale?
I've spoken about 8 times, but this year I will be there to answer questions. I'll have my books. She asked me when she needs me, and she hasn't asked me this year. But I'm there, and I'm glad to answer questions. I did the USC Book Fair with her. This year, I had a good turnout. I've sold books every single day from the minute I sat down and answered questions and talked to people. Cancer is so prevalent. You know, we have about 650,000 people who are going to die of cancer this year.
650,000 people, that is horrendous. That's oh, my God, instead of decreasing, it seems like it's increasing.
Yeah, it really hasn't budged that much. And the reason is that we don't have the right information. If you have the right information and you're willing to do the work, you can get well from cancer and you can do it all naturally.
Do you find that more people are more receptive today to your books than in the past?
Oh, well,
for natural information, for, you know, seeking natural foods and vitamins and supplements and so forth and exercise.
Well, the books are continually selling, so I wrote the first book in 1991. It came out in 1994. It's still selling. And also Survive Cancer is pretty much sells every month. So people are, I think, very interested in learning about what they can do, not giving their power over and their bodies and their mind over to the doctor and just being a puppet and just do what the doctor says, because that doesn't turn out very well. If you want a funeral, it turns out well, but if you want to live,
if you want a funeral, that says it all right there. If you want a funeral or if you want to live. And hopefully most people want to live, you know, and I'm sure, you know, that's what you're finding. So do you get a lot of feedback from people who have actually used your techniques and then contact you?
Yes, I do. I have people contact me all the time that my book has helped them. And you really need to do the work yourself.
If you just hand it
to the doctor, you know, you're not facing your situation, and you're not, you're not going to be able to get well.
That's the same that I tell people who are going through the legal system, you know. You have to do the work yourself. Don't expect your lawyer to do it because he's not going to do it. You have to go do it. You have to be proactive, and you have to want to win. And I think that applies to your health as well. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And so what do you think that would be a really important message for people who want to prevent cancer in their own lives and for people versus people who already have cancer or know someone who has cancer and they want to help them?
Well, it's interesting. I wrote both books for prevention, but mostly people get the book when they have a problem and when they've already been diagnosed. I would absolutely have read this type of thing when I was in my 30s because I looked, my aunt had breast cancer, so I went to the bookstore and there wasn't anything about prevention. There was a book by Jill Ireland, and you know she died of cancer, and there was also a book by Rosa Donna, Gilda Radner, and you know she also died. So there wasn't anything with any kind of hope or positive information about how I could go about preventing cancer.
Yeah, did you find, though, that in the past that most people believe that when they heard the word cancer, they equated it to death?
Well, it is a very scary word, and it is, you could kind of picture health if you picture a clock. 12 o'clock is health, and if you go, say, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, that's extra health like an athlete, but let's go back to noon and go the other way, and that's a decline in your health. And so we could say cancer is a decline going to 9 o'clock, going to 6 o'clock. And so in order to get rid of cancer or get your health back, let's say that is getting your health back rather than get rid of cancer. So we look at it a different way. And so you have to bring your health back up to 12 o'clock.
So if people were looking for your books, Keep Your Breasts and Survive Cancer, why would you recommend Keep Your Breasts versus Survive Cancer, and what would be the difference between the two?
Well, Keep Your Breasts, Preventing Breast Cancer the Natural Way, is about breast cancer, but it's also about uterine cancer. It's about what I went through and how I did it. So if you're interested, I would actually want to read both if I was this person interested in cancer. The second book, Survive Cancer, is about people who healed themselves. And it's people all around the world, and some had medical treatment failure before they took the reins in their own hand and figured it out. So both books, they kind of go together as a set. And if you want to understand cancer, I would definitely recommend reading both of them. And then you would have some idea what cancer is and what you yourself can do to prevent it and heal it.
And, you know, I just read about a man who was diagnosed with breast cancer because he was at the 9/11 when it happened, and they're saying that it was due to all the toxins that he breathed into his body, and he has breast cancer, and they also said that most people don't relate breast cancer to men.
Well, I was at the 9/11 also. I had a show in New York. I was 11 blocks away. It did not give me cancer, so there's got to be other reasons in this fellow's life that caused him to get sick. So he needs to review his entire life and not blame one incident. Certainly it didn't help him, but the body will detoxify if you help it to do that. And
but my
I did
main
walk
point
around.
Was that I didn't know that men even could get breast cancer because
yes,
they said they can,
too.
But it's not as common.
Men do get it, too. I've met men, several men who've had breast cancer, and you can get it with either men or women.
Wow, that was an eye-opener for me, and I'm sure a lot of people, because you just don't relate breast cancer to the male gender. And so now we can say that cancer affects everybody. It can't affect anybody and everybody, right?
That's right.
That's a scary thought. And so if there was like one preventative simple thing people could do every day, because people don't like to be bogged down with a lot of things to do, what would you say would be the most important thing for people to do every day?
Well, I think the most important thing is to not put stress into your own body. And the other important thing is to read my books and eat from that list of B17 and give your body an ammunition it needs to kill cancer cells, because we all have them in our body.
And so do you believe in physical exercise, and also what about yoga or meditation?
Very important. Exercise was one of the big keys to my healing. I decided to swim 1 mile every day, 5 days a week. And I combined it with visualization, where I would see a shark eating my tumor, or I would see a white light destroying it in the water and seeing it dissolve. In the sauna, I would visualize the tumor as butter and melting. And, I go to the gym 3 times a week and the spa 2 days a month. And this is so important. I do 30 laps at the spa every day. I'm there.
So you use visualization too?
I combine it. I always combine exercise with visualization, because, as I say, the mind is very powerful, and especially combined with physical activity, it's miraculous.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic information. And so now's your time to shine, and you can let people know, Susan Moss, author, and you're also an artist, though. Do you have any artwork that's showing recently?
Yes, my dealer in California will be moving back to Bergamot, BG Gallery, and he will show my work in September and October in group shows. I also have dealers in Naples, Florida. I'm working on a show for him, a big show, and then also in Westport, Connecticut. I have a gallery there that shows my work.
Fantastic. And you're such a busy lady and so talented. And so let our audience know, now it's your time to shine, where they can find you online and where they can purchase your books and why they should purchase your book.
Yes, my website is www.susanhmoss.com. You can get my books at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or any bookseller. They're universal books. You can also get it in German and Dutch. So keep your breath and survive cancer. If you want to contact me, you can email me at susanbc@aol.com. BC is for breast cancer. You can call me at 323-255-3382. Look at the website, Susan H. Moss, and you can see the books. You can order from the website or the bookstores.
Fantastic. And thank you so much, Susan, for being so brave and for being proactive and sharing your story and your information on how to survive with Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer on Amazon.com. And we'll speak to you again in the near future. Thank you
so
much, Susan.
Thank you so much, Rose. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And Susan Moss has left the building. Again, that's Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer. She suggests you get both books at Amazon.com. Check her out on her website. You can call her if you have if you need information about your issues, you or someone you love. And also, don't forget about the annual Cancer Control Society convention coming up in Glendale, California. It's the 47th, and that is Labor Day weekend at the beautiful Hilton Hotel. Can't beat that now, can you? And right now, we're going to take a break, and I'll be back with a little bit of political commentary. So stay with the Rose.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc, Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
That's right, you're listening to the Rose.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, Columbo Chronicles Live has just left Authors and Experts, the world of authors and experts, and we were speaking to Susan Moss. Her books are Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer on Amazon.com. And now we're going into a little political commentary here. And this article is written by Trending Politics, and it's entitled, One Line from Mueller's Statements Just Ended Democrats' Entire Collusion Case. I read an article from Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace, Mueller testimony is a disaster for Democrats on Trending Politics just a little bit ago. So let's find out about this one line from Mueller's statement just ended Democrats' entire collusion case. One line from former special counsel Robert Mueller's opening statement just completely ended the Democrats' entire Trump-Russian collusion case. During Mueller's testimony on Wednesday, today, before two House committees, Mueller made one bombshell, a bombshell claim that vindicated President Donald J. Trump. In Mueller's opening remarks, he said, quote, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired with the Russian government in its election interference activities, unquote. Now I want to say, as a longtime advocate for justice who's been in the legal system for years, and who has helped people around this country who became victims of legal abuse like myself or were suffered from injustices like myself, that you can become a survivor. You have to become a survivor. You have to be proactive. I mean, you have no choice when you are falsely accused of something or you are caught up in a corrupted divorce. You have no choice but to fight back. So I wrote the book that took me nearly 10 years, Fight Back Legal Abuse. And I'm writing the second edition, God willing. It will be published in 2019. So it was an award winner, 5-star review, seen and featured in major magazines and newspapers, including the Daily Journal for Judges and Lawyers, Veterans Newspaper Reporter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this particular statement, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired with the Russian government in its election interference activities, unquote. Which is what Mueller stated in the Senate investigations. To me, what this means as an advocate and an activist, political activist and an advocate for justice, who began a grassroots movement in 1989 for many years and was exposing injustices and legal abuses within the family law courts that led to other problems and issues that were happening that you don't realize how deep these issues go. When you're a crusader, you just think that one issue is going to be resolved. Well, that isn't exactly what happened. Anyway, this statement by Mueller, in my opinion, means that they couldn't establish that the President of the United States actually was making a deal with the Russians. He wasn't building a Trump hotel as collusion with the Russians. He already has billions of dollars. Think about this. He didn't need a hotel in Russia. And he's got hotels everywhere. And he has a brand and a brand name. And he has billions of dollars. He's not going to risk his billions and his businesses to collude with the Russians. It's ridiculous. And these were all third-party allegations, whether factual or not. And many of the parties that were actually Russian agents weren't charged by Mueller. And like Mifsud and a few others. And he didn't want to put himself out there because it was almost as if he wasn't sure what was in the report, as almost as if someone else allegedly altered or allegedly wrote the bulk of it. And why did he have to have a person sitting next to him to answer his own questions when it's his report? So the only thing he was doing was actually answering questions about what everyone's already read and what's in the report and what the USAG already read and stated. I mean, how many times does a person who's been found innocent in a court of law have to come back over and over again looking, well, others who oppose that person, the prosecutors, continue to badger him looking for a crime? I mean, how many chances do you get at one person who the top guys already found innocent, or let's just say they couldn't find a crime, can continue to search for a crime and continue at taxpayers' expense to try the same case over and over and over? And this isn't even a trial. These are hearings. So why waste more money and more time? And just because you're unhappy with the result, when it was Hillary Clinton who paid for the fake Russian dossier and the Democrats, and it was Hillary Clinton who got a pass on removing top secret sensitive emails for 2 years from the State Department with her aide, Huma Abedin, who shared 650,000 government emails on her home computer. They both lied to the American people, and it's alleged that Huma lied twice to the FBI, and she gets immunity. And all of Hillary's team who were involved, including lawyers and IT guys and so forth, and to help destroy government documents, top secret documents, or attempt to destroy them with bleach bit and hammers, if I had a hammer, remember that song? We're all given immunity, or and Hillary was given the golden pass by Comey, James Comey, whose wife is alleged in the news to have received tens of thousands of dollars in a donation from Hillary Clinton or the Clinton Foundation, and also McCabe's wife, which I can would, in my opinion, is a third party. And then it's alleged that Comey's brother worked as an employee and was paid as an employee by the Clinton Foundation. Too many conflicts of interest here. They're all too close to the Clintons, in my opinion. They knew of Epstein. They knew of Orgy Island. They gave him a pass. They gave the Clintons a pass for jetting over on the Lolita Express over to Orgy Island, where young kids were internationally trafficked over to Orgy Island and kidnapped. So too many conflicts of interest happening here on the Democratic side, in my opinion. You can have your opinion, but that is my opinion. So God bless you. God bless America. God bless the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, and his family. I hope God keeps them safe along with America and along with all the countries around the world and all those who are being suppressed, oppressed, and depressed, which I have coined SOD back in the early 90s.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.